Welcome to Forecast News with Millie and Afshin, where we look ahead to the events and anniversaries coming up around the world in the upcoming week. Please subscribe if you're not already, but many of you who have been watching for a while know the drill, so we better get straight into it.
This is not a drill, in fact.
It's not a drill, it's the real thing. We better get straight into it though, Afshin. Monday the 9th of September 2024, it's a busy one. I think let's start with a couple of high-profile visits happening on Monday. First up, we've got Joe Biden's US Secretary of State, Antony Blinken, in the UK for a couple of days. He's there to meet with his counterpart, David Lammy, for what they're calling the US-UK Strategic Dialogue. Now, David Lammy, as we know, has just had a couple of months in office as the UK Foreign Secretary. He's already met with Blinken. It was very much reiterated the strengthening of the US-UK relationship, special relationship, as has been very important.
Servant-master relationship.
Yeah, as some would call, exactly. They'll be talking, obviously, about Ukraine. They'll be talking about the Middle East. A week after the UK announced this suspension of a very small percentage of their export licenses to Israel, 30 out of 350, which they claim is because the 30 licenses would risk violating international law, but apparently the other 320 have no chance of violating international humanitarian law.
What were the 34, Millie? Because I can't seem to find... Did they tell us what those 30... I mean, is it for adapter plugs or for the killing of children in Gaza? What was it that was particularly worse? They're sending all the other, you know, parts for weapons that are aerially bombarding and mass murdering women and children and men in Gaza. What were these 30 licenses for? What was the extra bit? Chemical weapons? What was it?
Well, this is it. It's been very much under the radar what it is. And we've only heard exports licenses. So you're right. It could even be nothing to do with weapons. It could be, you know,
poison.
Your eyeglass cloth from last week that you were trying to flop.
Let's not advertise that. Let's not advertise that again, clearly. You know, I have to say a shout out to the Israeli press that have been so much better than journalists all around the rest of the world. A shout out. They're absolutely amazing, Israeli press. Because the Israeli press is saying that October, the worst attack on Jews since the Holocaust, as Netanyahu's people are saying, that was all Israelis killing Jews. So Israel was responsible for killing Jews in the worst Jew killing since the Holocaust, is what the Israeli press seemed to be suggesting. But none of the NATO allies, Britain included with the export licenses, supplying the weapons to slaughter and dismember the heads of children in Gaza, the media are not covering it. They're trying to look to Sudan and the fake genocide of 2016, resurrecting it and trying to make out that Arabs are evil in Sudan. It is, I will let you go on, but I'm just saying, shout out to the Israeli journalists, very courageous. It is the anniversary on the 9th of September that Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO, officially recognized Israel as a legitimate state. That went well, didn't it, PLO?
Yeah. Also, what do you think then Blinken is going to be saying to David Lammy when he appears this week? Do you think he's going to mention these licenses or any of the other things you've mentioned, or is it going to be very much business as usual, status quo?
British Foreign Secretary Lammy, his seat is now in North London. I remember the... equally black previous MP for that constituency, Bernie Grant, an amazing MP who really fought for human rights. David Lammy, the British Foreign Secretary at the moment, Starmer's Foreign Secretary, is bankrolled by Trevor Chin, who is an Israeli lobbyist. So I suppose he'll have lots to talk to Blinken about the fact that when Lammy goes eventually in disgrace, he can join Blinken at his arms consultancy West exec, because it's the outgoing Biden-Harris State Department Secretary Blinken, isn't it? He's finished. He's gone.
Exactly. So probably hardly even worth a meeting this week when he's only got 2 months left, if that. The second visit, though, Monday until Tuesday, of perhaps equal importance, EU foreign policy chief Joseph Borrell is going to be in Egypt meeting with President Sisi on Monday and some of his government officials. He's going to be going to Rafah, Joseph Borrell. He has been pretty outspoken against Israel in Gaza, saying the EU should end its ties with Israel, and in Rafah he's expected to unveil perhaps ironically an EU-funded project to aid children in Gaza and their caregivers in Egypt. But Israeli officials have been very clear what they think of Borrell. He was meant to go to Israel this week, and Israeli officials have said, no, sorry, we don't have time to see you. They've instead put it forward to after the holidays in October, when Borrell is due to step down anyway, so very much with nothing to see. We don't want you here. Very much when his hardliner Kaja Kallas is going to replace him next month. I think there'll be
Usually the Estonian woman who wants nuclear war with Russia.
That's right, Estonian.
But Borrell's the one who famously said that Europe is a garden, the rest of the world is a jungle. I'm surprised he even recognised Egypt and Egyptian civilization, of course, which gave birth to all civilization that we know right now. And say what you like about Sisi, didn't Putin give him a golden AK-47 gun once? He is refusing, like the King of Jordan, who we normally think of as a proxy of NATO, a servant, complete servant of Washington. Sisi is refusing to open the crossing to allow the Israeli plan of genocide to come to fruition, of so that the Palestinians end up in tents in the desert and Gaza can be recolonized by Zionists backed by Britain, the United States, and the EU. So, yeah, he's doing something, isn't he, old Sisi, for whatever you think about him.
Yeah, and Borrell as well. Obviously, the EU haven't cut ties with Israel, but Borrell's been very outspoken.
What's he done? Netanyahu may be angry with him, but Borrell hasn't done any. He's not said, oh, we shouldn't be pouring in the German tanks and weaponry to murder the children of Gaza.
Yeah, but although his rhetoric alone is possibly the reason he's on the way out, we don't know. But do you think it's just a publicity stunt then that he's even going to Egypt to go to Rafah? Is it just a front? And really, as you say, he's not doing anything material to stop what's going on.
You said it. Absolutely. And of course, the question now is, how will Borrell have to pay for his crimes in supporting the proxy war in Russia through Ukraine? He's the foreign minister of Europe de facto. He oversaw this catastrophic defeat of the largest country in Western Europe, Ukraine. Hundreds of thousands may be killed in the proxy war. How will he be punished? Will he be jailed? Will he be executed, as previous European leaders have, for supporting groups like the Azov Battalion? That's the question for Joseph Borrell.
Okay.
Although his boss, Ursula von der Leyen, is in Belgium, isn't he, with Mario Draghi, the former European European Central Bank governor, Mario Draghi. I thought were there corruption allegations against him? He's issuing a competitiveness report. Competitiveness. The whole point of Western Europe is it is collapsed economically, as the Nord Stream was destroyed by Washington, as they self-sanctioned themselves. There won't be much of that in Ursula von der Leyen's press conference in Belgium at 11 in the morning.
Just to mention that it's quite funny on that competitiveness report. That's the Future of Europe competitiveness reports coming out on Monday, as you said, which is courtesy of the former Italian prime minister, due to be published. Although it's quite funny, I think last week he did brief MEPs on this report, and you'd think he'd really want to sell this piece of work, kind of act as the PR and give it quite a bit of good press. But instead, what headlined from this briefing last week was people coming out and saying, this report is quite underwhelming, was the headline comment. So really pointless piece of work.
I know how they're competitive. The Cluster Munitions Monitor 2024 launch, 2 o'clock in the afternoon in Geneva, showing the amount of cluster munitions being employed. Of course, Western Europe and the United States, certainly the United States, the fore of sending in cluster munitions to Zelensky in Ukraine to try and murder Russians. And of course, cluster munitions sent to Netanyahu to slaughter indiscriminately. Indiscriminately is what Joe Biden said it. Indiscriminately kill Palestinians.
Yeah, and I know you've spoken about cluster munitions.
Cluster munitions as well.
That would be a good band name. No, you've spoken of it a few times on this show.
In relation to Diana, because it was the British Princess Diana who was very big on this banning of cluster munitions, but she died soon after her campaigning work for it.
Yeah, but as you say, this report is going to be on the countries adhering to this agreement. I think 124 countries currently have ratified this convention. 112 ratified, and about a dozen haven't signed or ratified. So I don't know, you maybe be able to explain why it is that it is China, Russia, the United States, India, Israel, Pakistan, and Brazil that are opposed to this convention and have never committed to it. Because you say the US has sent cluster munitions to Ukraine, which it did a year or two ago. But that was off the back of the fact that Russia does also have cluster bombs, which they have not ruled out using. I know in some news outlets, they report that Russia has already used them. We don't know for sure, but certainly Putin has not ruled out using them in defense if they're ever used. So what's
Brazil? Those are the only countries that failed to ratify.
These are among these are the countries that oppose the convention and have never committed. There are still several that haven't ratified.
Did Britain ratify it? How is it that Britain is still selling cluster munitions?
The UK, I think, is part of the convention and has signed, as I understand it.
But it's still selling them, isn't it? And they have special forces that are under the radar using these things. As to why those countries haven't ratified, clearly, they're at the forefront of war. I'm surprised that Lula of Brazil, under attack from Elon Musk at the moment, hadn't ratified the cluster munitions treaty. Why would Brazil need them? Maybe some Brazilians can message us and explain why that could be. All these issues, of course, will be on the 57th session of the UN Human Rights Council, which begins on Monday. Who is he? Volker Türk. An oral update from the High Commissioner on Human Rights. What is Volker Türk? Why isn't he in Gaza? Why isn't he gone there? Volker Türk. I mean, what a human being. Sudan, of course, is the main thing. And Venezuela. What's wrong with Venezuela? That man, CIA agent, has left Venezuela in his attempt to try and oppose Maduro of Venezuela, the victor at Venezuela's elections. And the Human Rights Council will be discussing Venezuela. Why don't they discuss the sanctions and the British stealing of gold from Venezuela?
Yeah, well, I tell you what, though, they're going to be having this meeting, but they're also going to have a UN peacekeeping debate on Monday as well, holding an open debate on strengthening peacekeeping. I think there's been something like 480 wars since the UN was founded in 1945. So they're doing a good job so far. I think only six wars a year isn't too bad.
Weren't peacekeepers killed by British, American, EU weaponry on the Golan Heights occupied by Israel from Syria? And we're speaking to each other right now, just hours after Anglo-American, EU aerial bombardment of Syria. And I'm sure peacekeepers were killed just the other day. I'm not sure from which country in the Golan Heights. No one cared. Mind you, the United States doesn't even care about activists in the West Bank that are being killed by their own weapons.
So in the debate then, if you were part of it, you'd be saying they're not doing a particularly good job on this peacekeeping mission. Which has been apparently ongoing for 80 years now.
I think the blue colour of their berets, I saw them on the Golan Heights, very, very fetching. And I think the blue berets, as they're known as, very fetching. But of course, no, unless they attack the red berets of the United States, the SAS, unless they attack them and defend civilians against the SAS and the Special Forces regiments of the United States. What's the point? And they don't have that ability. I don't think Blue Berets are allowed to murder SAS people. So how can they protect civilians? It doesn't make any sense.
Okay. Well, maybe we need to get you into the UN and you can say all of this. Well,
I think you can join the Blue Berets. They're very courageous. Are courageous or they don't know what they're getting themselves into.
Okay.
Still only on Monday. Come on, let's get to the tech news, the good stuff, the Apple iPhone. So the CIA contractor Apple, founded by a Syrian immigrants family, wasn't it? Yeah, Syrian. I don't know what all this talk about immigration is as regards the US election, because I'm not sure that Steve Jobs' parents would have been allowed to emigrate to the United States under Trump and Biden-Harris legislation, in which case Apple would have been a Syrian company. And I think it would have been much better. Apple is a Syrian company, and no wonder they're bombing Syria. They don't want to create that kind of... It was a cradle of civilization, the first music. Please stop bombing Syria is one question. Forget the iPhone. I know you use the iPhone, which, of course, Edward Snowden, who's taken asylum to Moscow, explained to us, is just bugging us and surveilling us at all times. The DOJ of Merrick Garland, we spoke about him last week, I think, is attacking Russian media. They're suing Google over allegedly monopolizing digital advertising. Of course they monopolized digital advertising. It was allegedly because the World Trade Organization report, World Trade Organization in deep, deep trouble because of the sanctions that Western Europe and the United States have imposed on countries all around the world as part of their proxy wars all around the world on Russia through Ukraine and in Gaza. And there's a huge forum this week with the World Trade Organization report comes out on Monday. The head of the WTO is General Nkosi Okonjo-Iweala. Previously, she served as senior advisor at Lazard and the boards of Standard Chartered and Twitter. So the head of the WTO, which does nothing, she takes her salary. WTO rules, which govern trade, free trade destroyed by the Biden-Harris administration and Ursula von der Leyen and the European Union, because they sanction everything now. Trade is not free anymore. That's why Western Europe is in trouble. And the head of the WTO used to be at Twitter. That's Twitter before it became X. That's Twitter that were revealed in the Twitter files to be covertly surveilling people, creating disinformation, deliberately promoting certain types of disinformation. That's the head of the WTO. And I should just say, we didn't mention it last week, Pope Francis is in East Timor, or used to be East Timor, which was, of course, brutally killed for so many years, brutally oppressed by British, American, Australian, EU troops. And the big, big world news is North Korea, day of the foundation of the Republic of Nuclear. North Korea, the country that can destroy Los Angeles in a matter of 20 minutes or so. So the rumor gets it. I don't think we care about ambulance response times that are coming out today. Apparently, the average response time for someone requiring an ambulance for a stroke, recent NHS figures in Britain, if you happen to be in Britain, are 93 minutes. So if you feel chest pain, call the ambulance and it'll be there maybe in 93 minutes.
Exactly. It's not really looking good, is it? That's why so many people are leaving the UK, certainly according to statistics that came out last week. I think 10,000 millionaires are leaving this year and something like 100 and something thousand are going to be leaving by 2028. So
the poor will say, let the rich go.
Yeah, then.
Good riddance. The poor in Britain should say, shouldn't they surely? Subscribe, anyway.
Subscribe. Yes, we're going to get to Tuesday, 10th of September, 2024.
Subscribe.
Tuesday, foreign ministers from the League of Arab States are opening in Cairo to discuss Gaza and the West Bank, obviously particularly pressing. So Jovis Borrell is going to be meeting with representatives from 22 of the member states of this league, including
the EU foreign minister, the jungle man.
Yeah, who's in Egypt, as we know from Monday. So the member states are including from Iraq, Syria and Lebanon, all of which have been attacked using US weapons and EU weapons as well in recent months and in the past few hours in Syria, as you mentioned earlier. What do you think they're going to say to Borrell?
Well, what you just said makes one think, why do they shake hands with him then, given that it's European weaponry that are bombing their cities? How can Syrian and Iraqi and Lebanese officials meet with Josep Borrell and have tea with him and hang out with him when he's foreign minister of a bloc in which there are countries arming the aerial bombardment of their countries? I don't understand at all how possibly that can happen. Jordanian parliamentary elections going simultaneously. Not really sure about democracy in Jordan, obviously. I know what the big news on Tuesday, the 10th of September, is, though. Why don't you tell it to the world? Here on Forecast News. Forecast what will happen on Tuesday at 10:40 in the evening in Philadelphia time. It's Mickey Mouse organization, ABC News, and their debate. That Mickey Mouse debate between Vice President Kamala Harris, or Holocaust Harris, as she's known, and Donald Trump.
Yeah, Trump, who has agreed to do this debate, finally. It was suggested that he didn't want to do it on ABC, given the
Mickey Mouse
bad treatment of a Senator Tom Cotton, who did appear. He was interviewed and he was criticizing Kamala Harris and her policies, which the interviewer, Jonathan, was the anchor. Wasn't very kind to him. Didn't treat him very well. But the moderators of this are going to be the anchors, David Murr and Lindsay Davis. I don't know if you have any opinions on these
two. Who's the first one?
David Muir and Lindsay Davis.
Who's heard of these people? They work for the Mickey Mouse organization.
Yeah, apparently long-standing anchors. But the rules of this debate are quite poignant. So there's going to be no opening statements, 2 minutes for each candidate per closing statements. Microphones being turned off unless the candidates choose to speak. We did see that in the last debate with Trump and Biden. And they'll be allowed 2 minutes to answer each question, can offer a 2 minute rebuttal to each other, as well as an additional minute for any follow-up, clarification or response, with no props or pre-written notes to bring with them, but they can write notes as the debate is ongoing. But obviously the last debate between Trump and Biden catalyzed Biden's downfall and eventual step down from the candidacy. So is it going to happen to Harris?
And no props. That's a shame. No enough props. The reason I keep saying Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, obviously, is because Disney own ABC Network. Their ratings have fallen massively. ABC News is a major propagandist for the secret security state of the United States, spreading lies about Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, Ukraine, of course, Gaza. ABC News is a catastrophically, some would say, evil television media outlet for the kind of propaganda. Of course, it apologizes years later for how it got stories wrong, but of course, it's just a mouthpiece of the CIA and different three-letter organizations of the United States. Why do you think Trump is doing the debate then, if he had qualms about it before?
Well, I think he's just got no choice. I mean, it was very much suggested in a comment he made, but I'm sure he was advised that he's got to go ahead and do it because it's the only one planned, and with 2 months to go, it makes sense, doesn't it? And also, we know that he seems to shine in these debates. If he could single-handedly wipe out his other opponent just from doing a debate, so he's probably been advised that actually this is quite possibly going to put him ahead of Harris, if anything.
A lot of immigration, and of course a lot of stuff about the border to and fro. If only Trump could actually, and I saw his Wisconsin rally where the Trump Force One plane more or less came into a stadium. It was amazing. The showbiz element of it, which he is, of course, famous for. If only he said Holocaust Harris, but he won't, because both Harris and Trump are back to the hilt with Zionist money backing the Holocaust at Gaza. So he'll never say Holocaust Harris, which would win him Michigan with the Arab Americans, but of course perhaps lose him Florida, so they say. As for Ukraine, of course, on the foreign policy angle, they might not do much foreign policy. At least Trump will be talking about, hopefully in the same manner as RFK Jr. and Tulsi Gabbard, both Zionists, but who don't favor the continuation of the NATO war in Russia through Ukraine.
Yeah, although, as we said the other week, still unclear what Trump would do if in power, given he has already had a phone call with Ukraine Zelensky and seemed to have quite a good conversation, which Zelensky at least interpreted as positive, but remains to be seen.
And Putin backs Harris, of course.
Yeah.
Quickly, Putin backs Harris.
Whether that's a front or not, we don't know. Obviously,
I mean, he smiled, but on the other hand, you can understand that the perceived enemies, the official enemies of Washington, and therefore the puppet servant states of Western Europe, it's easier to understand where Holocaust Harris and Genocide Joe move on the international frame and the international stage. With Trump, it's more difficult to strategically work out where he's going, whether, like last time, he helped the swamp rather than draining the swamp. So is he going to do exactly the same thing again? Because as some of the people that have worked with Trump have said, all you have to do is flatter him and he'll immediately forgive you and say, do what you want to do. And so the CIA back to the NSA, it'll be back to square one, and the FBI will then attack him as they did last time.
Yeah, so kind of more of a wild card in a sense. Then at least with Harris, Putin knows what he's going to get and can work with that. But we don't know for sure. We better get to a few peripheral events then on Tuesday.
Peripheral, outer space, outer space. That's what it is. The Outer Space Conference at the Palais des Nations, United Nations in Geneva.
Oh, that wasn't what I was going to. That wasn't even a ironic joke. That was
peripheral.
So, a couple of things. There is being a report launched on Tuesday, the developments in the economy of the occupied Palestinian territory by the
How's it doing?
On Trade and Development.
You need a report for that, Millie.
Well, it's quite ridiculous, isn't it? I think in 2023, when they did, the World Bank did a report saying Gaza's a per capita real income, probably no surprise to anyone, was the lowest ever recorded, and was still said to be in massive shock for the first few months of this year, and said to contract in May. I mean, there's barely anything material left in Gaza, let alone a functioning economy. So we may ask ourselves why, as you say, this report is even bothering to come out. It's the very least of the issues of the people in Gaza, wouldn't you say? I don't think they're thinking about the economy of their country.
I mean, what you say that there's little left. I mean, what is great about British and Western European targeting systems is what little is left to sustain human existence in Gaza, that the babies, the children, the women, the men need. The 2 million there under siege. They've been under siege for years, 10 years or so, in the largest open air prison camp on earth, according to former Prime Minister David Cameron. The British and EU targeting systems will be able to take out and destroy and annihilate what little is left there for human sustainability in Gaza in this week that we're talking about. That's how cruel the cruelty of the British European governments and, of course, their masters in Washington. So the ICJ and these absurd international courts that do nothing but sit on their hands and talk about, oh, Karim Khan at the International Criminal Court, I was threatened. You see that? He said, Karim Khan, who I've spoken to before, the head of the International Criminal Court, said, I was threatened. Of course he's threatened if he's opposing power and he's a judge who's oversee judgments on war crimes and the worst crimes of humanity in the history of the world. I was threatened by the United States. What a coward. disgusting coward. Alphabet?
Oh, yes, this is it, the other Google case.
This is another Google thing. CIA cut out Google, whose YouTube platform you may be watching this. We love YouTube. It's a completely free and fair, unalgorithmically propagandized network video platform.
Yeah, well, we'll have to hope Google wins then this case, or maybe it doesn't matter, because what is this? This is the European Court...
Get your vaccine now.
European Court of Justice is going to hand a judgment on Google's parent company, which is Alphabet, as you mentioned. Now, this is to do with a challenge against the 2.40 billion euro fine that was handed down by the European Commission 7 years ago. The European Commission accused Google of abusing its market dominance as a search engine by promoting its Google shopping service illegally at this time.
You use DuckToGo anyway, Millie, don't you? Or Ask Jeeves. So it doesn't apply to you for shopping.
Exactly. Who uses Google anymore?
DuckToGo is even biased. DuckToGo is supporting the Azov Battalion and Zelensky in Ukraine, I think. So you can't use DuckToGo either. Use Tor.
Or I just use a basic high street. You know, you've got to support those bricks and mortar high street shops.
And how do you search for things you want to buy on a high street? You have to walk around.
Yeah, like what's even a brick and mortar shop? What does that mean?
How do you search? You ask a shop assistant or something.
I guess you're quite young, Afshin. You don't know. What a real shop is, aren't
you? Working too hard. Anyway, I know when you try and buy cars on Google, not that I know how to drive, I should add, Auto Mechanica, the massive Frankfurt trade fair, 4,500 exhibitors from 80 countries. Do you drive, Millie?
I have a license, but I haven't driven in about 10 years, so I guess not.
Some sort of green thing. Greta Thunberg hates cars. Do you notice Greta Thunberg was arrested? No coverage of that at all because she was arrested for opposing the genocide in passing. I mentioned that.
Yeah, we've not really heard from her for a while, have we? As you say, maybe that's why, or maybe there's just more important things.
We know she's a puppet of the state. She's rebelled against her masters. She's in deep trouble. Peterson Institute discussion, virtual SEC Commission Chair Gary Gensler, accused of complete corruption, trying to destroy the crypto market. He's talking at 9:30 in the morning about international economics. So try and make it there. Oh, no, it's a virtual one. SEC, what is the Security and Exchange Commission? A lot of people would be asking.
So at 9:30 in the morning, whose time, actually? If you're going to give a
U.S.
time.
Washington, D.C., corrupt, heart of the empire, belly of the beast, time. And Tuesday, September the 10th.
U.S.
Tuesday, September the 10th, the paedophile organization, the British Broadcasting Corporation, the child famous for child abuse. The head of that, Tim Davie, is at a Lords Commission talking about the future of the British Broadcasting Corporation, rocked by child abuse scandals, obviously, and perhaps he'll be talking about winding up the organisation as the BBC perhaps is plans for it to be shut down or scaled back into mainly a sort of government information helpline for health and things, rather than being a network. If you work at the BBC, why?
Certainly been scaled down, we know that much. Just more on Silicon Valley, though. Obviously, you mentioned the Alphabet Google case. I'll just quickly say as well, so it's 2 billion euros they owe, even though I think at the start of this year, it has a net worth of $2 trillion. So very much pocket change, don't really know why they're...
2 billion?
...for this fine.
2 billion is the fine?
2 billion is the fine when they've got $2 trillion. Dollars net worth. So why they're bothering even with this case, I don't know. But then another one on Tuesday, the ECJ is also handing down a ruling in an appeal brought by, again, the European Commission against a decision relating to a case against Ireland over Apple tax rulings. So this was where in 2016, the European Commission said that Ireland's tax ruling was incompatible with its internal law, and it, in effect, gave Apple 13 billion euros in illegal tax advantages. So again, Apple owes 13 billion euros to Ireland. According to the EU, don't really know what business it is of that. Really an EU tax, I think, is what it's trying to get. Again,
Ireland's a member of the EU. I think Ireland is a very tax-dodging country. Of course, it supports the Azov Battalion and the far right in Ukraine, in the heart of Europe. Ireland, at the, to the fore of that, it has Shannon Airport, used by the CIA for black sites and torture. Ireland is not really a pretty fair country, one might suggest. And as for Google Alphabet, why, given the Western Europe economic decline, does it not respond by saying, okay, ban Google across Western Europe, you can't use it. Out of our largesse, we allow Europeans, Western Europeans, to use Google. You keep fining us. Go away. Do it your own way. That's what I would do if I was head of Google. St. George's Quay Day in Belize. The Battle of St. George's Quay was a key battle involving British colonists freed slaves. Belize is a tax haven, better than the one in Ireland, used as a vehicle by Google and Alphabet and Amazon. It has a high rate of poverty, 42%, 50% of Belizean children. What is going on with Belize? It's the United States just signed a landmark $125 million deal with it. It's clear that Belize is being used as a place that not only impoverishes the people of Belize, but used by offshore funds that can end up going through to Zelensky, to Mossad, used by Mossad, used by all sorts of CIA cutouts. Anyway, St. George's Quay Day on Tuesday, September the 10th. Teachers' Day in China.
Okay. We really better move on to Wednesday, though. We've spent a very long time on just Monday, on Tuesday. So
Wednesday, the 11th of September. Subscribe.
Yes. Now, Wednesday, arguably the biggest event that you'll certainly see in the Western media is...
the Chilean coup d'etat, the anniversary, the 1973 CIA-backed coup in Chile. 9/11 is a phrase that has been used since 1973. We know what 9/11 is. It's a catastrophe for the world when the CIA overthrew the government, democratically governed of Chile, that was a beacon to the world for freedom away from U.S. empire. And, of course, Salvador Allende would die in it. 9/11 is famous all around the global south for CIA killing, for the way the United States tried to destroy democracy all around the world.
Okay, well, you said it, so that's probably not what we're going to be seeing in the news this week, but certainly that's going to be a big day.
You can still mention what you were going to.
I wasn't really. That was pretty much it.
Well, it was a big event, I thought. You know, and I worked on the then Al Jazeera Arabic program that uncovered the plot of 9/11. Lots of people have different views on what happened on 9/11. I think what can be certain is that people who were empowered by the United States, trained in the war against Serbia in Yugoslavia, then trained in Afghanistan to fight Russians, the blowback hit, and many were killed in New York, in the Pentagon, in on a plane, Flight 77. It's a terrible day for those people who were killed, but of course it should have been a terrible day for all those people that supported the Mujahideen in Afghanistan and those who supported people in Kosovo.
Yeah, and I suppose what's going to be significant this year in particular is obviously this is going to be a sad day for many, but a lot of people are going to be looking at the complicity of the US in the likes of Gaza and Syria and Lebanon and Iraq, as you've pointed out, in what some would call terrorist acts using US weapons. So some will certainly be pointing the fingers to the US on this Remembrance Day.
And I should say it continues this situation because BGC Partners, headquartered in London, has an annual fundraiser because it came out of Cantor Fitzgerald, which lost a huge number of its financial staff in the World Trade Center destruction. BGC, which separated from Cantor Fitzgerald in 2004, there's a document online about its relations to a color revolution in Georgia. All those financial companies, which lost all those staff in the World Trade Center, were linked, you could say, to the source of their own destruction, to this mass money recycling into the foreign wars, into supporting what would become Al-Qaeda. And of course, even today, they're supporting ISIS, Daesh, and Al-Qaeda in Syria and in Iraq while saying they're against it. So the United States and Western European countries still doing the same thing. I suppose we can wait for the blowback again against European capitals. And the United States is not immune. There will be another terror attack. And as the CIA boss, who was with MI6's boss, I noticed, mm-hmm. the other day, laughing around. Look at these people. They must have both been there, the head of MI6 and the head of the CIA, when they were institutions supporting those who would become Al-Qaeda that would be responsible in some ways for 9/11. As they say, as Bill, what's his name? He's now negotiating for the Israelis. I don't know why he's not a diplomat. Bill Burns, former ambassador to Moscow, he would say all it takes is for the terrorists to get it right once. They have to get it right every time. So expect for all of this foreign intervention, some kind of terror attack on British cities, on Western European cities and the United States cities for what they've been doing over the past 5 years.
Okay. Let's move to elsewhere on Wednesday, the National Day of Catalonia, which I mentioned, where a day-long festival is going to be held. It commemorates what? The defeat of Barcelona in 1714. Was it during the War of the Spanish Succession? Actually, maybe you can tell us a bit more on the state of Catalonia.
Wait. Is Carl Puigdemont, who I've spoken to, is he still on the run in Barcelona? He visited, the Spanish authorities failed to arrest him. And as for Spain itself, Spain has just taken refuge. I was talking about it earlier, subscribe, by the way, the Venezuelan CIA cutout trying to overthrow Maduro. So Venezuela is at war with Spain. I presume Venezuela is not at war with Catalonia, but Madrid is at war with Barcelona. I don't remember the 18th century story that you're talking about. I remember the International Brigades, the Abraham Lincoln Brigades, when Britain and the United States supported what would become fascism that would inspire Hitler against the Republicans in the Spanish Civil War.
Yeah, although with Catalonia in particular, we know it's technically an autonomous region of Spain. They held a referendum in 2017, which was approved by the Catalan parliament, but deemed illegal by Spain. 90% voted to leave Spain, although it had something like a 43% turnout. Catalonia is not recognized as independent by any sovereign nation, although Russia was certainly accused, as it always is, of having a part in this referendum. But what do you know about that?
And Spain needs to be broken up as quickly as possible. It's a complete vassal puppet state of the United States. It's pouring in weaponry to kill Russians on the Eastern Front in Ukraine. It's pouring weaponry, although it was pouring weaponry, but I did it not say it wouldn't be sending some weapons to Netanyahu for the genocide. I seem to remember. What? Spain did say something about that. You know, polio vaccination campaign ends in Gaza on Wednesday, September the 11th. They've given enough polio. The Israeli authorities only gave until Wednesday, September 11th, to vaccinate, or sugar lump, as we said last time, the polio for polio for children in Gaza. They've got enough polio vaccines now, the children, and now they can be murdered by British and European and American weapons, seems to be the suggestion. The campaign due to begin, it ends at 3 p.m. local time in Gaza. If you haven't had polio shot or lump or the liquid under the tongue, you're not going to get it after 3 p.m. local time on Wednesday, the 8th, and the bombardment will resume and you will be killed, whether you have a polio shot or not, arguably.
Yeah, I would better mention as well, Joseph Borrell will have left Egypt by Wednesday and he'll be in Lebanon then until Thursday, meeting with the Prime Minister and Foreign Minister there. So whether he's going to be talking about that remains to be seen.
Yeah, we forgot to mention Pedro Sanchez of Spain is actually in China for the Catalan thing that you were talking about.
The one who is still under some kind of trial investigation. So
what was that, his wife?
No, I think his wife was indicted to speak out against Sanchez. All very complicated. If you're in Spain now, maybe you can tell us what it's like there. And
exactly. There's a picture of you beside the Goyas of the Prado.
Yeah. But I will say Wednesday until Thursday, something we're again not invited to, as we never are, the M100 Sanssouci Colloquium in Germany. 100 media editors and leaders from around the world are going to be there and are going to be discussing free speech.
Maybe you don't speak German well enough, Millie. That's why you weren't invited.
Maybe not, but around the world. I don't think everyone around the world speaks German, although I did actually learn German when I was younger, so they didn't even ask me what my qualifications were. They should have. But
Ursprung durch Technik.
Exactly. Nein Sprache der Deutsch, I think.
How can Ursula von der Leyen be at this thing? Is she? No, she spoke in 2023. So it's in Potsdam, and this is the place where Churchill, Stalin, and Roosevelt famously were. How could they be talking about democracy and freedom in Germany? RT is banned. CGTN, I think, is not allowed. They're not allowing free media. They're not allowing some Russian composers, Russian poetry. How on earth? The M100 Politico. It's sponsored by Politico, is it? Politico M100 Sanssouci Colloquium. If you're going there, take some undercover footage. Tell us about it, because this is actually nothing to do with promotion of democracy and freedom of expression. It's a way to get all those 100 media editors to lie and cheat so that the electorates of Western Europe do not understand the world they live in and therefore cannot make informed decisions about who to vote for. That's what some might say.
So you're saying Ursula von der Leyen, who did make an address at last year's event, isn't the embodiment of free speech?
Who would think? Who would have thought?
Yes, yes, we've got that to look forward to. Don't know who might be making a surprise visit this year and a surprise address. I don't think anyone's set to make a speech. Who we would know?
No one cares about Western Europe's media. It's all lies, as considered by their populations. They don't trust their politicians. Scholz is at an all-time low. Macron is hated. Look at him putting Jean Barnier as the prime minister, even though the left won the most seats in the French parliament. Starmer in Britain won with the lowest number of votes. No one cares in these countries anymore, I think, about their media, about their politics. All they care about is putting food on the table and being able to heat this winter, because that's how dire the situation is in Western Europe. But luckily in the United States, the MTV Music Awards. Have you been watching that, Millie?
Yes. I thought you were going to tell us, though, at the VMAs, how many musicians aren't going to be speaking about Gaza. I thought you would have had a list.
Yeah. Expect at the MTV Video Music Awards a panoply of the world's top artists from NATO countries talk about Gaza, the genocide, the lies they've been told about Ukraine, the support for the Azov Battalion and the insignia last seen during World War II. Expect Taylor Swift there to call out arms funding to Netanyahu. Expect all the big artists to be talking about that, right, at the MTV Awards. So it shouldn't be called MTV Music Award. It should be called, there's not a G in it, is there? Genocide Music Awards. That's clearly their support. The record companies, Sony, BMG, they're all entwined in the Israeli firmament with Israeli donors, with the Israeli donor elite class. Switch off your radios No, on Spotify, don't go for any music after 1948.
When Afshin was born.
No, that's not true. Thursday, 12th of September, the anniversary of the killing of Steve Biko in police custody in South Africa, backed by the United States, Britain and Western Europe when it was supporting apartheid South Africa. That's what 12th of September means to me.
Okay. Well, perhaps more importantly, on Thursday is, until Saturday, the 11th Shangzhen Forum at the Beijing International Convention Center, where defense ministers and experts are going to gather from around the world, talking about international security. The theme for this year is building peace and sharing the future. I think as it stands, 500 representatives of official delegations from more than 90 countries and international organizations are attending, as well as more than 200 Chinese foreign experts and scholars. I think even the US is going to be sending over representatives at the forum this year, including Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense. And China has said the US is taking this forum particularly seriously this year, which is quite ironic given the UN, the US seems to be out to get China, particularly in recent months, or at least position China as though it's a big threat to the US. So interesting to see what's going to happen at this forum on Thursday.
Absolutely. The Shangshan Forum won't be getting blanket coverage in NATO propaganda media, obviously, but a sign, if the United States is present there, that, you know, China is the number one economy by PPP, 800 million out of poverty in record time, literacy campaigns. You know, no country in the world has done so well as in such a short time in the history of the world as the People's Republic of China. I notice G7 labor ministers will be in Cagliari in Italy, G7 counterparts. Imagine the contrast between the Shangshan Forum in Beijing and this appalling, sad, tragic meeting in Italy where G7 employment ministers talk about the end of Western European economies. Thai Prime Minister, you know, it's Day of Conception Day in Russia, Russian holiday made popular by the region of Ulyanovsk, birthplace of Lenin.
Russia has loads of little days.
You get money,
doesn't it?
People get money if they have a child, something like that. Thailand, what's this? New Thai Prime Minister policy statement to Parliament. That's going to be exciting. Could Prachattan Shinawat deliver a program that stops CIA black sites? Gina Haspel, infamously, who was once head of the CIA, used to use Thailand for black sites, CIA torture sites. Thailand, of course, allowed the U.S. to use its land for bombings on Vietnam, Laos, and Cambodia. Even now, Udon Thani, one of the main U.S. bases there, could Thailand get away from this U.S. situation of U.S. power? And that's what I have for Thursday. Harvey Weinstein, the film industry mogul, who closely allied to Israel, he has a hearing in Manhattan. Famously, he's supposed to have used Mossad cutout companies to spy on Rose McGowan, the actress and friend of mine.
So that's what he would be charged for in the Afshin court then.
I think the rape stuff is equally important because it gave rise to the Me Too movement, which was then itself weaponized against critics of the CIA and so on. So we ended up seeing Russell Brand, who's been a very vociferous critic of the U.S. military industrial complex, he himself being somehow the great aspect to the Me Too movement being weaponized against people trying to attack those who arguably are somehow in the background to the whole Me Too origins.
Yes, and a case there which is still ongoing. So of course we don't know what the outcome will be there. We better get to Friday.
I was just going to say the transgender case on Brigitte Macron, whether she is actually a man, comes on September the 12th. UN Security Council discussing Yemen at the forefront of the resistance attacks right now. And I was going to say there was a Future of Media Awards in London, and Tucker Carlson with Megyn Kelly on Thursday, the September the 12th. We're rushing through this, aren't we?
We are. Friday, then I hope everyone's going to stay.
September 12th. I was going to just say, because it says here on the New York Times on Monday's edition, Tucker Carlson welcomes Hitler apologist.
Oh.
The New York Times is really gunning for Tucker Carlson and his little mini tour with the various people around America. Apparently, he's got Hitler on the tour too.
Apologist. You know,
I think Tucker Carlson's against Hitler, which is why he's against the Azov Battalion. But anyway, let's go to Friday 13th. Subscribe Friday the 13th. Friday the 13th of September 2024.
Yes. Hope everyone stays safe, as we know, in Western countries or NATO nations, as you would say. It's a scary day for many.
On what? Friday the 13th?
Friday the 13th.
Every day is scary for the Global South, whether you're in Gaza, whether you're in Luhansk, whether you're in your Donetsk, whether you're in Venezuela suffering the sanctions, whether you're in Mali or Burkina Faso being attacked by the French secret services, whether you're... Every day is Friday the 13th.
Absolutely. But at the very least, we'll hope Donald Trump is not going to have an unlucky day, as it's the deadline for his attorneys to file a brief as part of the attempts to overturn his $83 million defamation case against this E. Jean Carroll. That's going to be just a couple of days after his debate with Harris, which... may see him as the winner, ultimately, as becoming president. We don't know. Meanwhile, Joe Biden and UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer are meeting at the White House on Friday.
Genocide Joe is going to shake. But Joe Biden doesn't even know where he is. He had to bow out because he's not... Did he bow out because of ill health or because he's not good enough?
I think, as I say...
What was the reason?
Won the debate. That was single-handedly the reason.
So why is Keir Starmer, Kid Starver as he called, meeting Genocide Joe at all? He can't speak to him about anything.
My question as well. So it's the first time Starmer's going to be meeting Biden since Biden pulled out of the race. He has been to the White House before at the NATO summit in July, just a few days after Keir Starmer became UK Prime Minister.
Oh, yeah. But as a child, presumably, he was licking the boots of CIA and FBI and NSA and officials as a child, wasn't he? He's a member of the Trilateral Commission. So he had been there. It's a family show for Cos News. Subscribe. We know what Sir Keir Starmer was doing to the United States all his life. He is an asset of MI6 well before he became leader of the British Labour Party, so his detractors say, and was very close to US CIA cutouts when he, of course, begged under the Crown Prosecution Service the Swedish authorities to prosecute Julian Assange on fake sex crime allegations, desperate to destroy Julian Assange and destroy WikiLeaks for revealing the truth about war crimes of NATO.
Yeah, and that's certainly his history. I know he's an acquaintance of yours as well, Afshin.
Keir Starmer. Sir Keir Starmer. He refused to shake my hand at a BBC studio. He's an awful, disgusting man. So say the pensioners of Britain, as he cuts the winter fuel allowances, he backs the destruction of the Nord Stream pipeline supplying gas to Western Europe, then stops the poorest people from getting unmeans-tested winter fuel allowances because he has to pour money into the pockets and private bank accounts of a dictator in Kiev, Zelensky, who's abolished elections, opposition media, and attacked churches. NATO Chiefs of Defence meeting starts on Friday, September the 13th in Prague, in Kafka's hometown. How apt.
Yes, well, certainly given Starmer said he wants to boost spending for NATO, so it is certainly apt. This is the highest military authority, the military committee is going to meet, isn't it, to discuss strategic military developments. I think they're going to look at the implementation of whatever was discussed at the summit in July, which includes, as per its website, taking major steps to further strengthen deterrence and defence, bolster long-term support to Ukraine specifically, and deepen global partnerships. It kind of really seems as though NATO has just become all about Ukraine and it's really forgotten anything else. It's just...
Arguably, that's all NATO was, wasn't it? It was a way to attack Russia. It should have been dissolved after the fall of the Berlin Wall. It wasn't. The Ukraine has... is it even on the Atlantic? I know NATO is in the South China Sea, and that's not in the North Atlantic. Who is this NATO Military Committee Admiral Rob Bauer? Is he a war criminal who served in Iraq or Afghanistan? I don't know. Czech Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Karel Reka. These Czech army people, these British army people, the NATO people, they don't have any autonomy. They are complete servants and the lickspittle puppets and marionettes of Antony Blinken and Jake Sullivan. Imagine being a grown adult, putting medals all over your shirt and jacket and completely being servile to Jake Sullivan, who's only about 39 years old. He's never served in any war, I don't think. Russian GDP quarter two will show Russia doing amazingly well, thanks to the sanctions, self-sanctioning of NATO countries. NATO countries have destroyed themselves, and Russia is now the most powerful economy by PPP in Europe. Mm-hmm. Bigger than Germany.
Yeah, and we can't forget as well the Royal Institute of International Affairs, or Chatham House in the UK. A former Saudi Intelligence Director General, Turki Al-Faisal, is going to be there, where he's going to talk about the impact of the war on Gaza in the region and the role external actors can play in supporting de-escalation over there. So that's Friday. We better just quickly get to the weekend.
You said, so that's Roussi, of course, and the Saudi intelligence agency Mukhabarat is the name of the agency, HRH Prince Turki Al-Faisal. Quite surprising, you'd think, of the Saudi intelligence boss to be at that MI6 cutout Roussi event that you talked about. Get there if you can, 11 o'clock in the morning on Friday, September the 13th, especially as Saudi Arabia is so far saying absolutely we do not normalize relations with Israel, given the Gaza genocide. Joseph Borrell, who you mentioned earlier in the week, is in Lebanon, of all places. What if he gets killed by these Israeli bombs, the British, American, European Union armed bombs on Lebanon? And he's going to be there. So that's a bit, maybe they won't, maybe Lebanon will be safe on, or was that on Thursday?
Joseph Borrell, he will arrive in Lebanon on Wednesday, straight after his Egypt trip, where he's going to be there, as you say.
So it's around then. Anyway, if you're in Lebanon, it's going to be a safe week for you if the person who thinks the rest of the world is a jungle, the racist Joseph Borrell, EU official, is there, arguably. Jean-Luc Godard died in 2022, the greatest film director in history. Arguably, who talked about all these issues in a variety of different ways, one might say. And the G20 agriculture ministers meeting in Brazil.
That's Friday. Thursday, I think that was.
It ends on Friday. Ends on Friday, doesn't it? You didn't care about that, did you? Anyway, there's enough food for everyone to eat, obviously, but countries like Britain, the United States, and the European Union prevented getting through to people who need the food, as in Gaza. And it's Niños Héroes Day in Mexico. I'm sure that's what you're going to mention there. Subscribe
Saturday. We better jump to Saturday.
Subscribe September the 14th.
Now it's World First Aid Day, poignantly on Saturday, which recognises the roles that...
Why poignantly? Is something wrong with you?
Pardon?
You okay? Why is it poignant?
Luckily,
have you been injured?
Well, you know, millions die every year, Afshin, because they aren't getting first aid around the world. We know many in Gaza particularly can't get first aid, but they can get, as you say, the polio sugar lump, which has been unveiled by the end of this week. I think people are...
There'll be no polio shots, though, by the Saturday, obviously. So if polio is still present in Gaza, the spores will spread. And maybe contaminate the illegal settler Jews who have come to Israel to illegally occupy Palestinian Arab land.
Exactly.
So I mean, the big thing for me is the China economic data showing China's strength to strength, despite what you'll hear about in the NATO propaganda media.
Okay, that's like their quarterly economic growth statistics.
Monthly, I think.
Monthly.
And maybe you're right, maybe you're right. It is quarterly, isn't it? January, April, July, and October, I don't know.
What I think is quite significant is Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are going to be ignoring World First Aid Day. They're going to be ignoring these Chinese economic statistics. They're instead going to both be at the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation at the Phoenix Awards dinner, which is going to be nice for them. They're not going to be thinking about the first aid of anyone. And I just want to mention as well that the U.S. Gaza humanitarian aid pier, which was dismantled 2 months ago, took months to be built, and I think it was operational for just 20 days. That's nowhere to be seen anymore. But they're not going to be caring because they're going to be stuffing their faces at this dinner and acting as though everything is wonderful.
Good practice for any kind of U.S. military involvement in that region to try and get the gas reserves off the Gaza coast. Of course, the Black Caucus, notoriously relatively silent on the weapons transfer to Netanyahu to murder people of color. The Black Caucus, what has it done for black people? What have any of these people done for black people under the name Black? What we need today, arguably, is another Malcolm X to call out those people who, in the name of black rights, impoverish those of color all across the United States. Russia's friendship, are we going to... Saturday's done, isn't it?
Yeah, I think should we finish on Sunday?
Subscribe, Sunday the 15th of September, subscribe, Russia's Friendship Games. Russia has been boycotted and banned by all the CIA cutout Olympic committees and all the rest of it. They've got their own one. They're going to have their opening ceremony in Red Square for their own games to rival the NATO Olympics and the NATO Wimbledon tennis and the NATO who knows what else as all these Russian Russia was banned. Even saying the word Russia was banned at the French Olympics because France is now like Vichy France, supporting the people with that insignia in eastern Ukraine. But the big thing is the anniversary, 2008, of Lehman Brothers filing for the largest bankruptcy in U.S. history. Arguably, on the way will be the largest bankruptcies in European history as Europe self-sanctions. Mm-hmm.
This is Sunday we're on, right?
Yeah, Sunday, September the 15th.
I do have a quick question for you then. Now, on Sunday, it is the UN-recognized International Day of Democracy in the year with huge number of general elections, presidential elections, as we know. Now, it promotes, celebrates the freely expressed will of people to determine their own political, economic, social, and cultural systems and their full participation in all aspects of their lives. Now, based on this description, Afshin, how many countries worldwide would you say are truly democratic? Officially, there's about 120, but what would you say?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, yeah, clearly Ukraine is a dictatorship. Zelensky is a dictator. He's abolished elections and so on. Didn't they vote Hamas in Gaza? But the Western NATO nations don't care that they voted Hamas. They don't want them to vote Hamas. You're only allowed to vote for what Washington allows you to vote for. The only democracies, to answer your question, I would argue, are those countries where on a local street level, neighborly level, moves right up to the parliament, and that's the connection between the voted and the voters. Where do you have that? China, Cuba, Russia. You can't say Putin wasn't democratically elected, given how popular even NATO nation polling shows. And of course, the war on Russia through Ukraine is only exacerbated, has improved Vladimir Putin's popularity ratings, because clearly in a time of war, people end up supporting their leaders. What countries that aren't democratic are Western European ones. The majority don't want Scholz. They don't want Sanchez in Spain. They don't want Starmer in Britain. They don't want Macron in France. They don't want Biden and Harris. Western Europe, NATO countries are not democratic. The other countries are. Very simple.
Okay. Good answer.
Is Niger. The U.S. forces finally leave Niger, a place of great uranium, the uranium that will one day be used alas, perhaps, in nuclear weapons to end NATO dictatorship around the world.
Yeah, no. this is it. It's the deadline for them to withdraw, right? Which I think they said at the time the US forces were there to monitor jihadist activity in the region. Obviously, last year, the Niger president, Mohamed Bazoum, was overthrown. I'm sure you'll tell us, Afshin, though, why he was a US proxy. And now the
you said it, Millie. Of- Where are you getting your uranium for? From? Yeah, no, you said, yeah. If you think so,
okay.
Clearly all these African countries, they're all puppet states of Washington until they overthrow them. And how exciting for the people of Niger to finally overthrow them. I hope they froze some of those World Bank funds so that the IMF couldn't tell them how to use them to destroy the lives of people in Niger. Stories that are never really told in drama. So the Primetime Emmy Awards in Los Angeles on Sunday, the September the 15th, will not be rewarding any drama or, you know, plays and television programs that really attack U.S. power, because the Emmys are really CIA cutout awards. That's why they can just about accept the Crown. Was that last time? Was it with the Crown? Was the Crown again in for it? That television series about the royal family, which you thought presumably was too impertinent about the horrific British royal family.
An episode
you didn't like it, did you?
On the cluster bombs, didn't they? Which you particularly enjoyed. So focused on Princess Diana.
Did you like The Crown? Anyway, I think it will get awards at the Emmys. Did you like it?
I did. We discussed it, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, the royal family didn't like it.
Subscribe and have a look. You can see us discussing it there. Just quickly then, sort of looking ahead to Monday.
What are you forecasting now? You're forecasting too far. The whole world will be destroyed.
No.
The whole format of this program on YouTube will be destroyed. If you start forecasting too far, the sun will explode and Earth will be destroyed as the sun dies.
Yeah, well, this is a bit of a double whammy because it's both Sunday and Monday. So on Sunday, it's the day before the Mexican Independence Day. But on Sunday, the Mexican President Obrador...
Which Independence Day, you cheater?
What do you mean, which Independence Day? Tell you what...
Are you saying Mexican Independence Day from the Spanish?
Well, if you let me finish,
Not real Mexican Independence Day, though, is it? The real Mexican Independence Day is Zapata, Emiliano Zapata, who fought the Americans.
Okay. Well, obviously disputed. This, at least according to them, is their Independence Day. I know you don't agree with many of the Independence Days, and you're quite right to say. But the president, nevertheless, is going to be on the balcony of the National Palace in New Mexico, and he's going to be reciting the Grito de Dolores, which is considered the open call or battle cry for Mexican independence from Spain on the 16th of September, 1810, which, as you said, is not real independence, but... At the very least.
It was corrupt, wasn't it? They fought off the Spanish and had just a corrupt government until the Zapata Revolution. Some would say it's corrupt today until Zapatistas get in again. But you meant outgoing leader of Mexico, right, AMLO?
Exactly that.
Who's going to be replaced by someone even more popular than AMLO, the first Jewish leader of Mexico, and widely admired right across the continent, Sheinbaum?
Well, we'll have to wait till when that happens, and then we can forecast it when it's coming up in that week. We'll have to keep an eye out for that replacement.
Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo, and she's the next president of Mexico, and she's more popular than AMLO, and more left-wing. That'll frighten Holocaust Harris and Tin Pot Trump. Oh, I haven't got really a name for Trump.
So, well, you'll find one, I'm sure.
Anyway, just as we're ending now, subscribe, give us a few bars of that song you were talking about from Mexico, and we can finish up.
with the battle cry. It could be our theme song, perhaps. But yeah, so we better leave it there for another week. Thank you for watching. As always, please subscribe, leave a comment, watch any of our old shows. We've got quite a few now. And say, let us know what you think of the upcoming events. Let us know if there are any we have missed. We'd love to hear. But we'll be back next Monday. But bye for now.
Subscribe.